My guest at this time is Gordon Chang. He's the author of books such as Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, and The Coming Collapse of China. Mr. Chang is one of the foremost experts on the North Korean nuclear program. He joins me now to talk about North Korea's latest saber-rattling, the testing of an intermediate-range missile, which took place Saturday in the United States, Sunday in North Korea. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with what we know. How significant is this missile, and how successful was this test, as far as we can tell?
This test was significant because it was a solid fuel engine. That means North Korea can launch with relatively little warning. And we got to remember that this missile was carried on the back of a truck, which means that the North Koreans can hide and shoot. So when you combine those two things, mobility plus solid fuel, it gives North Korea a real threat.
What is the level of their confidence right now? I remember just a few years ago, a lot of people were laughing, outside of the fact they had nuclear weapons, at how weak their missile program seemed to be. How much has it improved in recent years?
Well, it's improved quite a lot last year because there were so many tests. Now, when they have a test which fails, they learn a lot. So it's not necessarily a setback. We know that, let's say, within 3 to 5 years, they will be able to have an intercontinental ballistic missile, which will be able to reach most of the lower 48 states, and they'll be able to mate a nuclear weapon to that. Right now, they have the launchers, they have the distance, they just don't have the ability to mate a weapon to a long-range launcher.
Let me get your reaction to the reaction now. First of all, of course, the Japanese prime minister was with President Trump in Florida when the news came in. Their statements were very short. The president's very short, simply stating that he stood behind Japan 100%. What was the significance of them making that together, and what did you make of what they had to say?
Well, it's important that the United States does stand behind Japan. President Trump's comment was very short, which is an indication that he has yet to formulate a response. It's going to actually take quite some time. You know, we say that we have a North Korean problem, and yes, we do, but also we have an Iran and China problem at the same time. All of these are connected because North Korea sells its missiles and its nuclear weapons technology to the Iranians, and there's Chinese help. The missile that was launched yesterday looks like of Chinese design. I don't know how the North Koreans got it, but nonetheless, there are questions we have to ask.
That leads me right into the condemnation coming from China, as well as Russia, from the UN Security Council. Is that genuine criticism, or is that just what they want the rest of the world to believe?
I think it's really what they want the rest of the world to believe. The Chinese have consistently been helping the North Koreans develop both nukes and long-range missiles. Especially we see Chinese banks involved in money laundering for North Korea and involved in North Korea's illicit commerce. And Chinese entities have been selling things like uranium hexafluoride and components for the North's uranium weapons program. If Beijing wanted this to stop, it would. It hasn't been. You know, we see China rhetorically supporting sanctions, but then turning around and busting them when the world isn't watching. So I don't think that the Chinese are genuine in what they say in New York.
We're talking with Gordon Chang, author of Nuclear Showdown and The Coming Collapse of China. And Gordon, every time the North Koreans do something like this, whether it's a nuclear test or a missile test, it gets another round of diplomatic activity started. We'll see what the UN has to do here. But ultimately, it's almost like Groundhog Day. We kind of see the same thing. We see the condemnation. We see perhaps maybe a new Security Council resolution. We see perhaps even six-party talks. And ultimately, North Korea does something again, not that far down the road. So what can change here? What could be effective in actually deterring their desire to keep pursuing this?
I think the one thing we could do is unplug Chinese financial institutions from the global system because of their participation in North Korea's illicit commerce. That would shock markets, but we got to show Beijing that we are serious. Now, the United States has not seriously dealt with North Korea since 1994 and the crisis during the Clinton administration. After that, yes, we've had diplomacy intended to disarm the North Koreans, but we have not seriously pursued it with the vigor that it requires. And that's why the North Koreans now have nuclear weapons and are on the verge of being able to mate them to their longest range launchers. So clearly, our diplomacy over the course of decades has failed.
what would be the indication that we would know that strategy or another strategy perhaps is working? What would China demand of North Korea as evidence that we're really tightening the screws on them?
Well, if we saw commerce between North Korea and China drop to zero, that would be an indication that Beijing is serious about this. After the next last sanctions on North Korea, which were March of last year, there was a brief fall off in commerce in April and May. And then after that, everything went back to pre-sanction levels. So that is a pattern, as you say, Groundhog Day, that is recurring. And so the issue is, yes, the North Koreans are villains, so are the Chinese, but we let them be. And so this is really on us. And the Obama administration and the Bush administration before it were not serious in stopping North Korea.
Last question here, Gordon. Right now, in just 3 weeks of the Trump administration, we've seen two provocative missile tests from the Iranians and from the North Koreans. Obviously, there's a lot of concern about Iran, given its proximity to Israel and its link to terrorism and so forth. How would you prioritize these threats?
They're the same threat. On January 29th, the Iranians fired off a Musadan missile, North Korean in origin. And so, therefore, the North Koreans and the Iranians have been thick as thieves. This is one program conducted in two separate locations. And so, you know, when we add in China's participation in this, we got to look at it as a whole, not just the separate pieces.
And quick follow-up, if we were to take the action you suggested when it comes to China on the economic front, would that effectively starve both of them?
It certainly would. But we have not had the political will to do that. But, you know, if some American city ends up to be a radioactive slab, it will not do for the president to say, well, I could have stopped this, but I didn't want to anger the Chinese. We need to anger the Chinese because we need, first of all, to protect our homeland.
Gordon, we'll call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for your expertise today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Gordon Chang is a China and North Korea expert. He's the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, and the Coming Collapse of China. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.
Korea without preconditions, that's an important change in U.S. policy. But by giving that promise, Vice President Pence got an important promise in return, and that is that Moon would not support give aid to North Korea until North Korea started to take demonstrable steps to give up their nuclear weapons. So what our administration has been trying to do is to create conditions under which Moon has to act in ways which we find pleasing and which certainly don't please him. We've got much more power than South Korea does, and through some deft diplomacy and some good public relations, we should be able to prevent him from doing what he would normally want to do, support North Korea.
So given those two developments that are obviously changes, big picture, after all this attention on both North and South Korea, the propaganda effort from the North and on and on and on, 3 months from now, will things be fundamentally different or largely the way they were before the Olympics?
I'm going to be an optimist and say that they're going to be pretty much the same the way they were before the Olympics. And the reason why I'm saying optimist is because I don't think that there will be the conditions under which Moon can reach out to the North. I think the North will engage the South Koreans, but they'll also commit provocations that'll make it very difficult for Moon to have all of these reconciliation moves. So I think we'll be pretty much where we were before, and that is South Korea reluctantly, but nonetheless, standing with us against North Korea.
That sounds like the best case scenario from your perspective, correct?
It certainly is, because if we have South Korea on our side, you know, we can use the other elements of our national power to peacefully disarm North Korea. So as long as South Korea doesn't create trouble, we'll be okay. And we can work with the South Korean people in an informal alliance to make sure that their government doesn't do things that undermine the international community's efforts to disarm North Korea.
Gordon, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, as always, for your expertise. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Gordon Chang is an East Asia policy expert and the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.